and amen. I want to see him. Yeah. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn back in your scripture, turn to Revelation 1 and Revelation 6, where we've been reading from. Remember, now the Bible study will be this coming Saturday only now because of the wedding that Jacob and them had, and I'm sure that they're, well on their way and going and doing, and Danny and them just inherited a daughter, because you don't generally lose any like that. You inherit, you know. So that gives them one more in their family. And so we just remember them. But Bible study will be this coming Saturday, 6 o'clock. And remember, Sister Quinn, Terrence said Brother Joe had to take her home sick. So just remember that the Lord would be with her and touch her and all. Amen. Let's all pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love and your grace. We thank you for the day and the time that we have. Thank you for you, Lord. And we pray that you would just bless us now with your presence and your understanding. Forgive our sins, cleanse us, and guide us from all unrighteousness. And may our hearts and minds be set on you, Lord, as we speak. And may we be able to, Lord, administer thy word to your people, that you may be able to quicken it into each one of our hearts and lives. Forgive our sins, most of all, because we want to stand complete in you. Have your way now in Jesus' name. Bless Sister Gwen, our Lord. Let everything be all right in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelations 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servant things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who by record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. All right, Revelations 6, verse 7 and 8. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed him. Power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword and with hunger and with death and with the beast of the earth. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, I want to try to finish up on this fourth seal if we can today and move on to the fifth and on going on and trying to, but we'll see how it works out. So just remember that we've spent a lot of time proving over the period of time that, you know, for 40-something years we've been talking about it, that the actual happening under these seals as far as the things taking place, when it's brought to a finality, is really brought over into a period of time after the rapture of the church. The bride goes up in Revelations 4:1 and not seen until 1921, and that's coming back with Jesus Christ. So then believing it, then it's not in our day, as we've proved it over and over, paragraph 194, we won't pull these up yet, Brother Anderson, but we'll start probably about the number... We'll start on number 4 with your notes. Save him some time of pulling up. But anyhow, it's not in our day. This is the time of the prophet, as he said on paragraph 194 there. This is not in our day, but it's the seal foretold.
Amen.
The seal foretold. Now, an example of that is taken in Acts there in the scriptures where it says, Acts 3 and 24, "Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days."
Amen.
Now, all the way through the Bible, it's been a foretelling or a telling forth first, you know, bringing it forward, letting us know what to expect and what to be and where we're at. And that way then the prophet in this day would be telling us what, because he says there in paragraph 194, this is the seal foretold. In other words, foretelling us what these things are going to be, that even though we're not going to be there, it's going to be something that will be past us, but we can see what leads up to it. I've tried to get you to see those things, you know, like the white horse rider starting in Genesis and riding through the red horse when Cain killing Abel, riding through the Bible, the black horse coming through the darkness and the horrible things that are there, and coming out to this pale horse, which would be death, you know, and coming forth in our day, and we can see it unfold or foretold. That's the title more of the message, is a fourth seal foretold. All right. And as it's doing, it's letting us know, because we've seen that the seals reveal what has been, what is, and what will be. You know, all right. And then it's a revelation of Jesus Christ, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and Satan's not. So we're trying to reveal Jesus Christ through the opening of the Word, is what the purpose of doing. And by doing that, then it is exposing Satan and his ride and his doings and the things that he's been doing down through the time. So then the word foretold is to show before, foretell, have noticed before, or listen to this one, to announce before that a thing will be. Of prophecies, or pre-announcement in the sense of to promise, or foretold. Now, so we see that it's foretold unto us the things that would happen by looking back through the Bible, right, and seeing as it unfolds down through, and these seals coming down. But then the actual part of the seal that's really the finish is Armageddon, as we'll get to it in a little bit, which is in the tribulation period, and we certainly don't go there till we go in a rapture. But now it's going to be interesting in a little bit, because we're going to cover this on a twofold thing. We'll lay down just a little background, and we'll see that we can see it unfolding, because there's actually a spiritual battle of Armageddon going on right now. The literal battle will be in the tribulation after we get out of here. But there's a spiritual battle which is in our minds. And that was what I was trying to bring this morning, the point C, to deal with Satan. He's bombarding our minds. He's bringing it to a place. And sometimes, I mean, I have to admit it, I hope you do, that sometimes he bombards my mind so much that I can't even think straight. You know, I mean, I can't do it. I have to stop and pray. Amen. And say, now, Satan, get out of here, you know. Just everything's coming in, even if it wouldn't be bad. You know, if he can't get you to think bad thoughts, he'll just get you to think good thoughts. You know, or plan things or do something. Anything to entertain your mind, and that was what I was trying to get across this morning, that, see, that's what is death and sickly. Is that Satan has the ability to work through our minds and to cause us to think wrong, cause us to get all muddled up in the world, and he's trying to keep us entertained. Well, the way it used to be, you know, when we was kids, we didn't have entertainment. I mean, you could take a nail and a stick and drive it together and make a little wheel and run out through the yard and go, you know, and make you a car. Or we even made our own wagons at the wheels and everything, you know. Burn a hole through them with a rod of iron, you know, and make a wagon and drive it and all kind of things. But see, the kids now, everything is entertaining. Right. You know, in school, even now, computers. Yeah. Everybody's got to be computer, you know, something about your schooling, it's all tied to it. You got to see this. You got to do that. You got to be entertained, because that's the world. And like I've always said to you, I read this one time. They say that the reason they're doing it now in the movie industry, that your mind only runs so many minutes and keeps pretty well attention. So then what you have to do is it runs so long, and then it kind of starts dwindling down. So if you'll notice your fast action movies, they're changing that scene continually, because that's keeping your mind, see. keeping you related to it and controlling you. Well, see, that's what Satan is trying to do around the world to all of us. He's giving you things to do, right? Never have any time. I'm looking back there. I hope Janet's life isn't because of some of it, but I look back there and I think about Boyd. I've heard him tell, you know, said, well, she'll get into bed 2 or 3 in the morning as she gets through working all of doing everything, you know. Notice it's entertaining. It's the world is controlling us. You got so many things going on. Well, that's Satan's tactics.
Right.
Maybe sometimes we need to just sit down and put our old brain on idle, you know, and just relax a little bit, you know, and get away from it all to be able to exist. But then when you try to get away from it all, what is it? All comes with you. So that's the biggest problem. Okay. But now listen. This. Something foretold. God has been unveiling this secret mystery to his bride. And that's why the prophet had to be sent, as we were bringing this morning, that the eagle is the one that calls him death. Well, see, he said on the first seal, he said he's been death all the whole time. But see, even into him, he didn't know it, because before the seals would break, he'd come forth in the seals, and he said, I didn't know why I was against that, but now I see why. See, because it began to unfold to him to see what death really is. And death is not just a dying factor, it's a fact sometimes of even living in life. Because we're a dying generation, we're a dying people. What's wrong with the world today is there's no more push to go and do. Why? Because we went to the moon. We went into the planets. See, we run rockets all out into space. And there's not a lot to be accomplished. It's already been done. So that just puts us in a kind of a slow down pace. And that becomes deadly. Because if your enemy's not in the same place, that's when he begins to attack you. All
right,
but I hope that was getting across this morning. But just think about it. We, as the bride of Christ, can look back and see God unfolding this and allowing us to be able to see it. And then seeing things like, as we'll get to it in a minute, and we have to see it in like compound meanings, you know, like Satan being kicked out of heaven. Well, see, he was kicked out in the beginning, but yet he's still in heaven. So when you come over to Revelation 12, he's kicked out again. Well, that's because the bride has went up in a rapture. It's because he'll be kicked out.
Right.
See, if we can't win this battle over death, now that's the whole message this evening. If you and I, the whole message for all of my life of doing, if you and I believe you and I are the end time people.
Amen.
I believe I'm looking at the end time people. I'm not looking for more generations to come, but yet if they have to come, then that's fine. But I'm looking at the basis of saying, well, I believe we're winding it down. It's coming to an end. And if it's coming to an end, then, you know, there's a great battle going on. Read the message of prophet called The Greatest Battle Ever Fought. He said, Satan chose man's mind. God chose his heart. See, because of that mind are just all muddled up and everything going. But then when God speaks in the heart, it just solves all the rest of it, right? And see, that's where revelation is at. Revelation is not in your head. It has to come through the head, but the revelation is in the heart. All right, where the word is revealed to us, and then that way you know it's finished.
All right.
But if we can't win the battle over death, then there's no hopes for Israel to do it.
Right.
Now, I don't mean this wrong about them, the 144,000, but there will not be the bride.
Right.
We've been through that.
Right.
Sure, they will be the people of God. Sure, they'll receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They'll have eternal life. Yeah, the 144,000, yeah. But they still won't be the bride. So that means the battle is for you and I. It's for us to defeat Satan. All right. See, then when we defeat Satan, see, then when it goes there, they'll be able to handle him. They'll be able to conquer him. But you and I got to conquer the battle of the mind. You know, our thoughts and things. But Brother Dale, you're always throwing off on the preachers in this message. They're wonderful. I agree with you. No problems. But see, goodness is not what's counting today. It's whether or not it's the Word. You remember that's what we ended up this morning? Death cannot conquer the revealed Word. There is no way. Satan can't defeat that Word once it's made known to you. You can just stand on it and say, forget it. I don't understand it, but I believe it. It's a finished product because God has revealed it to you and I. All right. So then in doing that, you can see that what's taking place now is the most important battle of the entire Bible. You know, the Bible speaks about those prior to us. It said they without us is not made perfect. But I'm trying to tell you, those in the future, the 144,000, the thing that, there's no hopes if we can't win this battle. And it's a battle over the human mind. Because if he can get into that mind and pervert this Word, that's why I'm so hard against, you know, people saying things and all. Because it just, what does it do to people? Heard a man just recently say that, and boy, he was quoting scripture, I mean. But he said that we have, you know, a covering for past sins. We have a covering for sins we repent, for present. He said, we even have a covering for future sins. Well, that sounds good. Right? That sounds good. And he's giving scriptures and things. But I can't help but think that that's exactly the Catholic Church and what they do. Sure, I know the blood of Jesus Christ atones for all sin, yes. But if we don't repent, come on, we're going to have to give an account somewhere. Come on. If that ain't the message, come and show me. Right. I thought before sins were remitted, I mean, I had to repent. Right. If not, why not? We'll just forget it. We'll just give it to everybody in the world. You know? We'll just give it to everybody. No, no. I thought repentance is what came and brought the forgiveness of sins.
Right.
I didn't know that I had a future, you know, covering of my sins. I thought I had to repent.
Amen.
Well, I can't help but be that. When I hear it, and I'm listening to 200 or 300 people, and they're sitting there amening, you know, I can't help what it does in my heart.
Right.
Well, the brother didn't mean it. All I know is what he said.
Right.
All right. I ain't capable of understanding what he meant. But evidently, he meant what he said because he said it three times. You know. We got a covering for future sins. There goes another one. There goes old Brother Dale. Becoming arrogant and hateful. Well, that's all right. I'm sorry. But I'm fighting for your soul and my soul. I'm in the greatest battle that has ever been fought. And it is in my human mind. Well, what you need to do, you really need to get it straightened up and cleaned out. That's what I'm trying to do. Okay? I'm trying to do that. But it surely don't work out to bring me false doctrine. I was talking about the 70 weeks of Daniel. See, they were talking about progressive revelation. Progressive revelation is not corrective revelation. Corrective revelation was where Brother Branham was wrong and God corrected him. Progressive revelation is where Brother Branham was right, but yet there was things that had not unfolded to him at that time and it become progressive.
All right.
But it sounds real good to the human mind. But think it over.
Right.
That's why I'm kind of slow myself. I want you to think about what I'm saying.
Right.
It don't bother me because you don't amen. It doesn't. Because you're thinking or you're asleep.
Right.
The doctor told Piggy one time, or somebody did about it, said, my wife, that your body heals when you're asleep more than it does when you wake. So if nothing else, maybe I've got a healing factor about preaching, and you go to sleep and God will heal you. You know, okay. Get you to life, we're to move on. All right. But now listen. The greatest battle ever fought. See? One day will be fought. All right. The Armageddon.
Right.
All right. Now, that's what I want you to do, because I'm going to read in a minute. I'm going to read about 4 pages out of the seal book in continual reading until you. You go home and you read it and things. But show me anywhere in that 4th seal or even later that Brother Branham, referring to the Battle of Armageddon, that he mentions Russia, China, India, or any of those countries. I remember we were down at Athens years ago, and this brother, he preached on Armageddon. And he was going with it, you know, and Russia coming down here, and this people coming here, and this group. And after the service, Brother Mode asked him a question, said, where did Brother Branham say them forces come from? He said, well, I don't really know. Well, see, he was preaching, supposed to be the message of the hour, and telling us what the prophet had to say. I'm just asking you to do it. Read the 4th seal, read the 5th of it all, and see if he's telling you about a battle of Russia, China, India, this, that, or the other coming down. Now, we know they will. But he calls them Protestants and Catholics.
Amen.
That's the forces. God looks down. We look at it as Russia coming this way, China coming this way. You know where we are? We're right over here with them. You know, we're compassed about Jerusalem now. All of us are. Because we all need that minerals and the things that they've got there.
Right.
But see, when God looks down, he sees Protestants and Catholics. Because every nation in the world today, whether it be Russia, China, India, whatever, they have a religious atmosphere about them. And they're in one category or the other, Protestants or Catholics.
Amen.
You say, well, what about all these Muslims and all these things? Like, you probably find out one of these days it's all controlled by the same fellas I'm saying this morning.
Right.
When the big head man steps up there as that beast, Satan incarnate, the world will bow at his knees. I don't care what country it is. I don't care if there are countries that would fight the Catholics to death. When you tell a man, straighten up, or we cut off all of your food, your oil, and your things, because I can do it.
Amen.
A country's going to give in.
Right?
Right?
Amen.
Because what can they do? Oh, we'll just stand alone. That's not it. Do you understand what my point is? At the Battle of Armageddon, when it happens in the tribulation period, we're done gone when that literal battle takes place. All right? That's when Satan breaks his covenant. You know, he's got a covenant there and he breaks it. In the middle of that last week, he breaks that covenant. All right? And when he breaks that covenant, he stands in the temple of God showing himself to be as God. He's got control of everybody. And how can they argue with him? See, then it will be a Russia coming down, a China coming down, a people gathering around, because they're already right there. We are on our own part of it. They're on their side. But when God looks down, he calls it Protestants and Catholics. I'm wanting you to get the point from the seal. Because it's foretold all the way from Genesis to show you that that spirit, that Antichrist, coming down until it controls mankind. And as it gets controlled, then he'll start tightening the strings, as we call it, until he brings it to the place that we'll bow down or die. You say, oh, but God will be with us. God will only be with the bride.
Right?
He's not fighting for the world. He'll only be in the battle of Armageddon, in the literal, he'll only be with 144,000. He won't be with Israel as a nation. Sorry, he won't be. All right? But see, it's a battle. Battle in the human mind. You know how the human mind works? I can just see people or somebody on the internet, especially anyway, that say, I seen that guy put a cough drop in his mouth. He must not be too good of a preacher. Well, you make up your choice of what it is. I don't have to worry about it. I just know if I don't put it in there, I'm not going to be able to finish the message. Well, have you had what you think you got? I never said I had anything. I just know a God that's got everything. Right? So I don't worry about the rest of it. See, but that's what you're thinking. See, your mind gets in there. So just in case somebody out there hears it that way, you just seen you got cut off. All right. But now let's get on with it. We can look back and see. You know that Brother Brown said every denomination was in Genesis? He said all these doctrines that you have come from Genesis. That was your seals foretold. You know, leading up to, look at all of the battles that's being of mankind. Leading up to a drastic battle. You know what Armageddon means? Termination of forces. That's the interpretation of the word Armageddon. All right. And see, it's never been terminated before. But one day there will be a termination of forces when God comes down and ends that battle. And see, that's where the people of the message get it. It's because it looks so beautiful. And it is hard to divide. It takes a revelation. Because they say, well, look here, Brother Branham preached the whole fourth seal about you and I. You know. Sure, because that's the main battle. As I was saying a moment ago, the main battle is right here now. Whether a bride can overcome Satan's tactics and his ways. And if we don't, there is no battle for nobody else. Literal battles don't mean a thing to God. One word and he destroys it all. That's what I showed one time, showing it to a bunch of ministers when we're talking about Armageddon. And I said, who do you think is going to fight Armageddon? Well, first of all, we're going to ride back with him and we're going to whoop him people. You know, we're going to wipe them off. You better remember, we're coming back into the millennium. I'd like for you to show me where we're coming back before the millennium. Because if we're coming back here before the millennium, you got a problem. Right? But if we're coming back in the millennium, then you can see the truth. All right? And see, by doing it then, what I've done, I draw it out for some brothers one time. Because they'd asked me the question, who's fighting the battle of Armageddon? I said, well, okay. Now, we got Russia, we got China, we got India, we drawed all them out, and I said, all that's the bad guys, you know. And I said, where's the good guys in? So we got, they're all gathered around Israel, you know, the land of Israel, Jerusalem, the land there. They're gathered around that. But I said, remember now that all of Israel, except 144,000, is in a covenant with the Antichrist. So then I took Israel out, just took it off the board, you know. I said, because they're the enemy bad guy too.
Right.
So you got to put them on the side of the bad guys that are gathered around. Because the 144,000 is not going to be killed by Russian soldiers. They're going to be killed by Israeli people because of their stand for the truth. Huh? They said, well, good, I'd be the 144,000. Well, that'd be great, wouldn't it? 144,000 against 7 billion. We're going to have to be pretty good fighters. And ain't being silly. That's just being truthful. Well, then I said, okay, according to the Bible, 144,000 are killed before Armageddon literally takes place. So I just raced out to 144,000. I said, boy, we're getting down to some pretty good fighting abilities, ain't we? Now we got two people against 7 billion. And I said, uh-oh. According to the Bible, the two prophets are killed. So we'll race them out. I said, who's fighting? Come on. That's sensible. I just done a calculation for you, or what you call those big old words, you know, to be able to understand it. I said, what's going to bring Armageddon is them two prophets. When they stand there with that word out of their mouth, will bring down the plagues upon the earth. It don't matter whether they're alive or dead. That don't have nothing to do with it. You know that this prophet's message, the prophet's been gone 40 years, and you know what's bringing down these things on the world? The message he preached 40 years ago and passed.
Amen.
It's causing, because that's what the Bible says. See? The Bible says we're compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses.
Right.
It's watching us fight this battle. And we're in that battle part of it. But we're not over there in the literal happening.
Right.
So does everybody understand what I'm saying, where we can approach it?
Right.
Yeah. We're not there at the literal battle of Armageddon. But we are in a spiritual battle. A battle of the mind.
Amen.
That Satan has controlled everything. He's lied his way right through it and brought it up. Now let's start with number four, and we'll just start from here. But that's the basis. Now somebody on the internet hearing me, somebody on tape hearing me, please listen to the first part and listen to what I'm saying. We're not going to be there in the battle of Armageddon, but we are in a spiritual battle that's taking place today. And if we don't win this battle,
right,
and I don't mean win it like we win it.
Right.
Yeah. We don't win nothing. God don't need you and me, whether you like it or not. You know, God can't do without me. Well, you might find it out. Yeah. We can't do without him.
Right.
Your prophet said he can put us away anytime he wants to, but said you better not try to put him away.
Right. Amen. Amen.
You're going to bring death and finish the whole thing. All right, so then as we start it, now go ahead with number four, brother, and we'll, because we're going into the scriptures is what I want to bring up in what we're talking about. Because remember, we go up in Revelation 4:1. All right. Now, watch what he says. This is taken from the first seal, paragraph 361. Then in Revelation 12:7-9, when Satan is cast out, the accuser, you want to put that down, because I want to read it. We haven't got time now, because it's 20, 15 till 10. But in Revelation 12, I wonder where they got that word from, 20th. I ain't never heard that. Even bad as my English is, and I never did know that one. But in Revelation 12:7-9, Satan, the spirit, the devil, which is up there now, accuser of our brethren, all right, the church is taken up, and Satan is cast out. Then the church, when the church goes up, Satan comes down. I love that, because we're not going to be up there together. He ain't going to allow that. That's ended. We win this battle, there ain't no place for him up there. This is the people that's going to put him out of heaven, if you understand what I'm saying.
Right.
The prophet's emphasizing, we go up, he comes out.
Right.
The reason he can't stay is because we're going to be there.
Amen.
That's what he thinks of us. That Satan incarnates himself in the Antichrist and is called the beast. All right. So look at the scripture now. Revelation 12. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. Was their, T-H-E-I-R, their place, found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. All right, now compound. That was in the beginning. That was in the beginning that Satan was cast out of heaven, right?
Amen.
Back before time started.
Right.
The angels and the things were cast out, right? Michael and Lucifer fought it out, and he was cast out. All right.
Amen.
Now come down to a spiritual or a end time, and we go up, and he's going to be cast out. What about they won't even have a place? Is that what we said? Is that what the Bible said? Neither was their place found any more in heaven. From that day on, Satan won't be able to enter heaven to accuse you.
Right.
He's defeated. Church, if you understand what I mean, we're the ones going to defeat him.
Amen.
It's not going to be armies fighting. That's why the prophet called it Protestants and Catholics. We'll get down to that in a minute. But he's cast out. There's no place no more. Why? Because the bride, when she goes up, he goes up, comes down. All right? So let's see what happens when this happens. Now, we've read these, so paragraph 190, go ahead. Number 6. And he becomes an Antichrist. Now, it couldn't be Antichrist, only spirit. Didn't he become an Antichrist? And that spirit took a man that taught the same things that the Antichrist spirit was doing. And then he become a false prophet to the Antichrist spirit. Now, what about when a man in an organization, suit yourself. I don't know what you think about it, but all right. That's how blunt a prophet could be. What about somebody that would stay in an organization and wouldn't follow the truth? Okay. Now, finally, he becomes a beast. Now, wait, we'll get into that after a while. See, all right now. If Satan's trinity lays like that, Satan all the time, Satan, Antichrist spirit, the Antichrist spirit incarnate, false prophet, then becomes the beast. See, when not a demon that was in that Antichrist, but when Satan himself is kicked out, he comes down. When he becomes incarnate in that man, he's kicked out, right? He takes over the place where the demon was. Like we were talking a while ago, something about, you say, well, how does that work? All right? How does God work? Remember, Satan's going to type after him.
Right.
Not a type of, type after.
Right.
Jesus Christ was standing on earth. That body wasn't God, right? That body was a creation. But inside of that body dwelt Almighty God, incarnate. Right? Incarnate in a body that was born for that purpose.
Right.
But see, Satan can't do that. He can't create a body to step into. So he has to borrow one like he did. He borrowed the beast in the garden to start the whole thing to going. Now he becomes incarnate as the beast. In other words, that man has become so much to that until that man no longer has anything of his own. Have you ever seen people that were so demon-possessed of things? What about Adolf Hitler that was going to conquer the world? And he wasn't even Satan incarnate. He just wanted a blonde race of people to rule the world. You know? Kind of odd. He was half Jew anyway. But must have been fighting against his own self. But now listen. Satan being kicked out of heaven Now, we've read this next quote so much until, let's just pull on up to the scriptures. Go on up, brother, to number 8. Satan being kicked out of heaven, Revelations 13, 1 through 8, he is incarnate in the person of the beast. All right, Revelations 13. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Now, get the point. Seal foretold. A lot of this was way back yonder. That's your 10 kingdoms of Daniel. Right? The 10 toes and the things. Seal foretold. Coming down to the end. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Now watch him. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered at the beast. We'll read on to the next quote when we get to it in just a minute. Brother Brown said that's when pagan Rome became papal Rome. That's your wound that was unto death. Pagan Rome was destroyed. The Roman people, you know, the government, the thing that was finally destroyed. And as it was destroyed, it became papal Rome to control. So you're looking way back to see something foretold. You're looking back to the 10 kingdoms of Daniel to see something foretold of what's going to take place. What? And they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Now, I thought that we believed that the United States was the image to the beast.
Right. Right.
13, 13, 13. I thought we believed that's the way the prophet expressed it. So when pagan Rome became papal Rome was when your wound was given to him. He got a deadly wound. The natural government of Rome was destroyed. You come over into the papal Rome to rule. Now it's not ruling just Italy, it's ruling the world. All right? And where are we at? Going up to the next part of it. Because it's just part of the scripture. There was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. That's your tribulation. Right. See, we're the image to the beast. Nobody can make war against this man and his armies. You look at it right now, we're trying to police the world. And you know, we can do it. Because we have the firepower to destroy a nation that doesn't agree with us. That's why we're the image to the beast. We're trying now to control the world.
Right.
Who is it? Why is it that when something comes up that we were supposed to send these UN troops into a place, but we're there way before the UN troops had ever brought in? Because we're the ones with the power, the image to the beast. Right? And he opened his mouth in great blasphemous and blasphemed his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. Look at him, because he's cast out.
Yep.
Standing there blaspheming because he's been cast out. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given unto him of all kindreds and tongues and nations. Now, you tell me that I wasn't right this morning. You tell me I'm not right now in saying that every government in the world, the prophet said, is controlled by the devil. And you think they won't all do his bidding? I don't care if it's a far country that don't even hardly... Where was it the other day? I heard the other day somebody telling that... It might have been over the other night. That, talking about some country over there that the first time ever, they ain't never had electric lights in that country. But that country is controlled by the devil. Ain't even got no electric lights. It's controlled by the devil. Now all that dwell upon the earth worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. You say, I tell you what, so I don't never worship. According to the Bible, if we don't make the rapture, we definitely got a problem. We're going to be hunted down and killed. Because even the foolish virgin is going to be hunted down and killed during the tribulation. Right. They'll have to give their life for what they believe. Are we willing to give ours? Okay. Let's see if the prophet was right. Let's go ahead with number 10. While we are not a denomination, paragraph 69. He's talking about the kings, five kings in all from the history. I'll show you. Now watch the beast. Now the beast wasn't a king. He was one which is not, and yet he is, and is not, and yet he is, and is not. What is he? Succession of popes. Right? A power of beast ruling. That's when pagan Rome was converted to make papal Rome. Pagan Rome was converted and then it became the papacy, which they had a pope in the stead of a king, and the pope is the spiritual king. That's the reason he's a crowned spiritual king, claims to be the vicar of Jesus Christ. That's who the pope claims to be, instead of Jesus Christ. All right, go to the next. This is taken from the fourth seal, paragraph 175. And it never did become that way in Rome. And he's given you powers over all the nations. That's in Revelations, right? We just got through reading. It never did become that way in Rome until pagan Rome was converted into papal Rome. And the Catholic power spread the world, made the universal Catholic Church. All right, are you seeing it? Now go to one paragraph 195. Excuse me, 194, number 12. Or number 12. So watch what he says now, the fourth seal. We read this over and over. Watch, rides a pale horse as he appears in his ride, this last ride. He's on his last now. Now, this is not in our day. That will be on down. It's the seal foretold. Because see, the church has done gone up when this happens. Okay. Now the battle again. As I said, let's start reading in a hurry. He said it was the seal of foretold before it ever takes place. This battle of Armageddon started in the Garden of Eden. In the human mind. I don't have time to bring all of it to do. You're to know it. Read the greatest battle ever fought, and you'll find what I'm saying. The battle began in the garden in the mind of man. And he's been battling ever since. As a matter of fact, this battle began in heaven. When Satan and his angels was cast out. So now, if I covered what I talked about a while ago, the compound meaning of Revelations were the casting out of the red dragon. It was back there before the foundation of the world. Now it's done when the bride goes up. We'll be cast out again. No place will ever be found for him anymore in heaven. He finds his place, the lake of fire. The beast and the false prophet. To show you what God thinks. Now think with me a second. Man is to be judged before he goes to hell, right? But you know the Bible says the beast and the false prophet is cast into the lake of fire, and it doesn't mention giving them a judgment. Come on. Read your Bible. Read your prophet. It doesn't say that they go to the white throne. They're just cast right in there. Why? Because they're incarnate. There's no need of judging them. What would you judge them for? They are the devil. His false prophet and him is both cast in there. It says the beast and the false prophet. What's a false prophet? What's the body, human part, element of the beast that's dwelling within that pope? He don't even have to be judged because he's done cast out of heaven. All right. So let's get started on it now. Paragraph 278, number 13. These will all be from the fourth seal, except the last one, and then I don't know where I'll get to that or not. Paragraph 278. Now, there'll be a couple of little jumps, and then you're going to start reading the solid all the way through. What is all this coming to? We've just got about 12, 14 minutes here, I guess. Look what this is all coming to. Now, keep in mind, spiritual battle, finishing with a literal battle. You'll see why Brother Branham didn't bring Russia and China down. Because when they come down, they're going to be Protestants and Catholics. Because we went into every country in the world with our Protestants and Catholics. Now watch. What is it? It's going right back to the way it did. It started in heaven. It's coming to the end time battle. The first thing in heaven was a battle. Lucifer was kicked out and come to the earth, and then he polluted Eden. And he's been polluting ever since. And now from the battle in heaven, it's coming to the battle on earth. And it's to be fulfilled on earth at the end time in a battle called Armageddon. Now, anyone knows that. The battle started in heaven, and so they kicked them out. Michael and his angels overthrowed them, just run out. And when they did, dropped right down in Eden. And here started the battle down here. Go ahead, number 14. This is jumping like a couple of paragraphs to just save time of reading. Paragraph 85. Now the battle started in heaven. It'll be finished on the earth in the form of Armageddon. Now let's watch and see it unfold. Unfold. This Armageddon that's going to be over there after we leave out of here is going to unfold to you and I. That we can see what's taking place. And maybe we can unfold it if the Lord helps us right now to do this. Watch it unfold. The mysterious rider, watch what he does now. Oppose, refuse, repent, and go back to the original blood word. The word became blood and flesh. See, he refused to go back to it. He's Antichrist, the true word bride. He's opposed to the true word bride. Takes his own bride. He opposes this true bride too. And he takes his own bride and brings her in a form of religion called creeds and dogmas. See, and now seeing the holy bride, he is against her, but he forms his own bride called Antichrist by Antichrist teaching, which is contrary to Christ. See how shrewd he is? And now instead of having a unity of love and controlling worship under blood, he's got a denomination. Instead of having the word, he took creeds and dogmas and so forth. Number 15. Jump to paragraph 299. Watch, gathers them now on his mixed colored horse. He's gathering them together on his mixed colored horse. Because he's got political powers. If you don't believe he has, how did this president get in just now? That was John F. Kennedy, right? Brought in by the fraud of the machine that they voted for the wrong person, right? And how did you get him in? Look what he says about it. How did you ever slip up as the last time I voted for a presidential election? And I will not vote again. Why? Because why you vote? Well, you're just giving up your right. My one vote ain't going to change a whole lot. Yeah. How did it ever slip up? Come over here for freedom of religion, and you bunch of Democrats that would sell your birthright out to politics. I was a Democrat. Right? And what happened? Sold out my birthright. I ain't got Democrats parties. They're both rotten. I'm talking about Christianity. But you sell your birthrights on a Democratic ticket to put something like that in, shame on you. Now, you know that'd be nice to say that to the world today, but number 16. Together them on their mixed-colored horses. It's going to be continual reading from now on for a while. He's gathering this thing together, mixed with creeds, denominations, man-made doctrines. Where's Russia, China, and India, and all of these countries? Come on, if you can read them in here, stop me somewhere and tell me about it. Is that right? Sure, a mixed-colored, the mixed color of the dead, pale horse of the world. Now, that's right. Mixed colors of the dead, worldly form of the pale horse. Oh, my. No holy blood of the word at all. And watch from the corner. From the four corners of the earth, they gathers them to Armageddon. Who's he gathering? Protestants and Catholics. He's not gathering Russia and China. That's going to be there because of the natural. But every country is going to be there. It's going to have religious people in it. They do right now. The Bible says, I'm trying to think of the scripture. I got them wrote down here. I ain't calling them, but just where they were written down. See, what they are gathers them together to the great day of the battle of the Lord God. He says, watch. Go ahead. Because the next, all he's got to do is just keep pushing his fingers now, because this is continual reading out of the seal book. You read it. Paragraph 307. This will be from 307 to 328, I think it is. Now, on this mixed-colored, worldly, pale, sick horse, just think of it. You know, that's a bad thing. Now, watch where he gathers them. From the four corners of the earth, they are gathering now for the showdown. The showdown will be at Armageddon, according to the word, see, on the pale horse, riding on it with death tacked, with the name tacked on him, death, the Antichrist. Listen, Antichrist, first denomination. That can't be spirit without, with his Jezebel, a prostitute to the word, with her daughters with her, Protestants gathering themselves together now in unity. What's he say? Did you hear the Baptist people speaking the other day over here? You know, we won't join up with them, but we'll be friendly. As of the last I know of it, the Catholic Church is not a member of the World Council of Churches. That's the last I heard of it. Maybe now, because they've had delegates there for many, many. It's been 40, 50 years ago they've had delegates there. They are not a member of the World Council of Churches. Why? Daniel says he come in by flattery. Flattery means you invite the guy in. You got to get the guy in that's got control. Okay? Well, we'll be friendly and kind of click with them. We won't have to join their church, but there you are. There you are, just exactly what the word said here. See, old harlot in the first place. See? I heard about a year or two ago, they were talking about that who would represent us if it were a council of churches. They tried to join it, and they were talking about somewhere overseas, some people were talking about getting us in the World Council of Churches. Who's going to represent us? Now, here they are joining themselves together, coming to the showdown to Armageddon, and riding on a mixed-colored horse with one horse of white, one horse of red, one horse of black. Three different political power, spiritual power, controlled by demon power, which is the Antichrist. Mixing that all together, you got a sickly looking thing that he's riding on. That's right. Now notice, look what he's riding on. This pale looking, grisly colored horse, mixed with black, red, and white, coming into the battle, gathering his subjects from every nation under heaven. Watch. Did not Daniel interpret the dream and seen that streak of iron running to every kingdom of Rome? Here they come, gathering now. Sit still for a close just a minute and listen close. They're gathering in now to do it, bringing his subjects from the four corners of the earth, riding a pale, sickly, three-colored mixed horse, same man. Now in Revelation 19, not only is he gathering, not only is he getting ready, but Christ is getting ready to meet him. Now, watch this next little bit, and you'll see. The battle is going to be hot and heavy. Christ in Revelation 19. Christ is gathering his, not from the four corners of the earth, because there's going to be a little bitty remnant. There's that little bitty 144,000 left, two witnesses left, because the literal battle is over there. And that's why there's going to be a little bitty, fear not, little flock bride that will stand this battle of Armageddon, spiritually speaking. That will be able to take the pressures and the things and be able to walk out and believe God's word. Okay. What's he doing? He's gathering them from the four corners of heaven. That's where God's getting his from. We'll get them souls under the altar tomorrow night, and you'll see whether it's right or not. Four corners of heaven on a snow white horse. He also has a name, not death, but the word of God, life, amen. Got it wrote right on his thigh there, here. The word of God, that's the only life, because God is the only source of eternal life there is. Zoe, is that right? He's got wrote life riding on a white horse. See, so the Revelation's 19, even though it's going to happen over there, it's got a spiritual happening over here. The battle's riding right now. Listen to what he's saying. Read it. It's going on right now. See, we're not going over to Revelation 19, as I've said over and over and over and taught it for 40-something years. We're not coming down with a sword. Boy, we're going to come down here, and we're going to ride on them white horses, and we're going to have a sword. Well, they got tanks. They got atom bombs. They got all kind of things. I want at least a BB gun. Okay? It's showing you how people in their silliness, the way they think. Because that's what preachers in this message think. They'll say, I thought we were going to come back and fight a battle. If we win this battle, the battle's over.
Right.
All right? Now let's get back to where we're at. He's gathering his what? He's got wrote life on a white horse. And here's a man with three different powers mixed up called death. Gathering his earthbound delegates. And Christ is gathering his heaven-born subjects, saints. He's got death wrote on him. Christ got life wrote on him. Those with him on white horses also. And they're called the chosen before the foundation of the world. Amen. They're faithful to the word. Amen. I like that one. Called chosen before the foundation of the world, and then faithful to the word of their choosing, all stimulated with new wine and oil, just riding right along, coming down to meet him. They know the thunders will issue the thing. Of course, pretty soon. Who's he talking about? Who knows the thunders is going to issue this forth other than you and I? Who knows the thunders as the complete revelation of Jesus Christ other than you and I, the bride? So we know the thunders are going to issue it forth. Right? But just remember, if we don't win this battle, there won't be no victorious ride into the millennium. When we come back on them white horses with him, we're going into the millennium. That's according to your prophet. And he thanks so much of us on Daniel 70 weeks. He said, we are the anointing to the temple that will be built in the millennium. Read you Daniel 70 weeks. But listen. Now watch how he does it. He is the Word. And his name is the Word. Then the Word is life. Antichrist. Anything anti is against. So anti is against the Christ, the Word. So it's got to be creed or denomination which is against the word. Well, I don't see how you're going to miss it. Do you understand? How could you miss it? I don't know how you're going to. But that's true. Antichrist is against. Isn't that right? Take away from. That's what he was. He's riding his mixed up horse. We see it riding here in the word of God. Right here in the word of God. We see it right there in the seven church ages. Here he brings it right back in the seals. Opening up and showing them things that went on in the church ages, antis against the word. See why creeds, why we're so against the creeds and denominations, because they're against the word. All right? Here we see life and death coming to the final struggle. That's in me and you. The white horse of true life. The pale horse of mixed creed. You see the thing coming to a real showdown. Now I want to say something here. You might not believe this, but I looked it up to be sure. There's only one original color, and that's white. How many knows that? There's only one original color. Anything else is mixed. Christ is on a solid, white, unadulterated word from the beginning. Amen. Every color would be white if some chemistry hadn't broke into it. Amen. Glory. Every church would be standing on the apostolic doctrine of the Word of God, and God confirming it to be, confirming it if he didn't have creeds and denominations mixed into it. There you are. Oh, Brother Evans, I feel good right now. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Only the original color, that's white. It never mixed with denominations or creeds. No, sir. And remember, his saints are clothed in white robes, not mixed with denominations and creeds. Now, we find out the denomination creed. Here's where you get your mixed color, because this is the original color he's writing. The original colors on his people, and they've been dipped into blood that cleansed the garment and sent it right back under. See, that's right. Those that mixed turn pale and go to death. It's a perversion to mix colors with white. You pervert the original color. Is that right? If the original color, only color, is white, and you mix something with it, you pervert it. It's real cause. Amen. Is that right? And if he is the white horse, and he is the word, then to mix anything with that, any kind of a creed, add one word to it, take one word away from it, it's to pervert the whole thing. Oh my, keep me with the word, Lord. Truth and error. Oh my, no matter how good that it, truth and error cannot mix. Now listen to it. It cannot mix. It's either the thus saith the Lord or it's wrong. No matter what Holy Father said, Saint Boniface or the Archbishop of Canterbury, I don't know who said it. If it's contrary to the word, it's perversion. It won't mix. And watch. Now somebody evidently put a thought up. Watch him. Say, this fella done, I don't care what he done, how much holy he is or anything like that. This is the only direct truth that we have. No church, no creed has no truth. If it's outside of this, show me one that's got it. I want you to tell me. I'll turn a page in the Bible and show you something. See, just call the one. You say Pentecost, oh my, I just caught that thought from somebody. Better leave it alone right now, because I seen that started a sore spot right there. I didn't want to hurt you, but I just wanted you to know. I know what you were thinking about, see? The word was there to discern it out, right? Those that's mixed turn the Antichrist to death, see? Those that mix turn the anti to death, see? Turns the death color when you mix any kind of anything with the original. It's like Christ said about the mustard seed. It's the smallest of all seed, but it won't mix with nothing. Mustard won't mix. It's genuine mustard. So if you just got that much of faith, just hold to it. Notice life followed him riding on white horses. It was a word, life. Vindicated by his resurrected saints. Now when we come riding back in the millennium, we are going to be the resurrected saints. Not coming in the millennium, get resurrected. And we done went to a marriage supper and coming back. Vindicated by his resurrection, the saints he had with him. How's the battle going to go? Jesus said, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And if you believe in me, though you were dead, you shall live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Again he said, he that believes in me, he will give him eternal life, raise him up at the last days. That's the promised scripture. Watch him. Here comes Satan with all four corners of the earth with his Protestants. Now, have I read anything about Russia yet? And with his Catholics and all together marching right up to the battle of Armageddon. All right. And here comes Jesus down from heaven with resurrected saints, vindicated word. Now, I could put a point right in there. What do you think about it? You know, this battle that's going on now, in the Bride of Christ, you know, those that's in heaven know about it. And there they come. They're coming to our aid, not physically speaking.
Right.
They don't have to come here to do it. We meet them in the air, so don't worry about it. Resurrected saints. They know it's going to issue it forth pretty soon. We're gathered about, by the Bible says, a great cloud of witnesses. And you know, in the scripture there, the prophet used how long, as the bride of Christ. But when you say how long, to avenge our blood, that was Israel. So you can say how long, they're saying right now, how long. They're saying right now, come on, church.
Right.
We're ready. The resurrection's coming. All right. Just drop that little bit in. As I said, if God speaks and sends you, he backs what you say. You see, notice, if you're an ambassador from heaven, all heaven is behind you, and all heaven is consisted of the word. I love that. Notice now he's coming with resurrected saints, vindicating his word is true. So Satan knows then the bottomless pit is ready for him. Oh my. While death rode the pale horse, mixed creed and denominations, and followed him, oh my, the eternal separation from God, that's where he rode them to eternal separation. That's what the Antichrist has done. Christ rode his church right into glory in the resurrection. Battle of Armageddon. Spiritually speaking, is taking place now. The battle in your mind. Satan is trying to pervert it or either keep it entertained. To try to keep us up from believing God's word. He's doing everything he can. Look at him now as he's using the preachers, so-called, of this message. That some will say Brother Branham was wrong. Some will say he done this wrong, he done that wrong. Trying to destroy your confidence in the message of the hour. There's your spiritual battle of Armageddon.
Right. Right.
And there will be a physical one in the tribulation after we leave out of here. But it'll be because we won this battle over death.
Right.
The death can't get me until God is through with me. I don't worry about it. He may cause me a lot of problems, a lot of struggles, a lot of heartaches, and a lot of hurting and wounds and things, but he can't get me until God is through with me.
Amen.
I'd like to be there to see this change come. But where did Brother Branham mention Armageddon anywhere about physical forces shooting guns and weapons and things? He never mentioned anything about Russia and them and their great bombs and us with our great bombs. He said Protestants and Catholics. As I said, when we went to war in World War I, both sides was on a lot of degree called Christians. World War II, look at where you gathered it, around the world. And you brothers that was ever in service, you would know, maybe I don't know what they do now with it, but back then, you had a dog tag. You know what it said on there? You were either a Protestant or a Catholic. Do they still put it on there now? I don't even know. But I know they did then, because it was Protestants and Catholics. You was either one of the two. Because they wanted to know who to pray for you if you got blown away, you know. So you had to put down you was either Protestant or Catholic. There's where your forces is coming. Russia today has got a lot of Christians in it. There's even believer message people in Russia. China, India. The message is spreading to the world. But if all we are is Protestants and Catholics, we're on the wrong side of the battle. If we're just what we call Christians and not being the bride, even heard a preacher one time years ago say, I know I'm born again, but I don't know whether I'm in the bride or not. I just sat there and shook my head. If you're born again, that is the bride. But that was his point. You see, the deceiving in man's mind coming down into this message to turn them against the true word, to destroy this message. They say, and the prophet had faults and failures and fallacies. Sure, because he's human. But show me where the message has got any faults and fallacies.
Amen.
The message is not Brother Branham when he was preaching the White Horse Rider as the Holy Spirit. That's not the message.
Right.
He had to correct that.
Amen.
That's not the message.
Right.
It's in the books, but it's not the message.
Right.
The message don't have any fallacies.
Amen.
Right. Come and show me.
Right.
Come and show me the fallacies of the message. Years ago, people said there was 17, I think it was, contradictions in the church age book. I put it on the internet, put it everywhere. Send me them contradictions.
Right.
They ain't done it yet. Because they know that a lot of them contradictions is silly, foolish statements that they think he made wrong. Let the Holy Spirit put it together. Brother Dale, you believe everything Brother Brown said? I believe the message of what he said. Then the other is like when he said one day, the black and white will fight again and die like flies. It's a direct quote. The next message he said, that was my idea. It was not thus saith the Lord. But you know what? They are dying like flies around the world. But the message is true. Let me give my stand for the message and say this prophet's message is thus saith the Lord. If not, we better be finding us another prophet. And like I said a while ago, where was everybody at when the prophet was here? They wouldn't get up and say nothing while he was here. I think it's time the prophet said we need to look people in the eye and say, you're not saying what Paul said. Big man in this message just sat listening to him one day and he kept saying, Brother Brown said so-and-so. I raised my hand. I said, he didn't say it, brother. Yeah, he said so-and-so. Well, see, everybody there would have took the man's word that Brother Brown said it. I said, he didn't say that. I said, here's what he said. I said, you left that off. He said, well, okay, I'll say it for my words. I said, continue on. As long as you don't say Brother Branham said it. See, where's the mercy of the people at? Well, so-and-so said Brother Branham said so-and-so. Don't know whether it's true or not. But heaven help those people that say those things. Because that's death. You say, well, why are they still living, Brother Dale? Because they got to be there to be deceivers. They must needs be heresies among you, that they that are proved may be made manifest. The guy was standing up in the pulpit and said Brother Brown was wrong, and a pillar of fire struck him and killed him dead. Everybody in the building had run out. And they believe Brother Brown was right, wouldn't they? But a man just got killed. But because he don't get killed, it's more deceiving. Right? Think on these things. Let's stand together. If you got the communion ready. Yeah. Let's go into the communion. Foot washing. Got it. Okay. Let's read our scriptures. Go right into the communion. I hope you'll go home and think about what I was saying. I never done away with Armageddon. That's a literal battle that'll happen over there between governments. But when it does happen between those governments, it will be the same Protestants and Catholics as it is right now coming against the bride of Jesus Christ. Everything is against the bride. Even the people that so call themselves the bride. But you see, you can't destroy the word. Well, thank God. Right. Paul said, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do shew the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. He that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation. The rest will I set in order when I come. Let's just have a few moments of prayer, praying and remembering one another. Pray that the Lord would bless all of us and keep us. Remember the sick among us, believing that God will reach down and touch. We ask it all in Jesus' name.